So you're with the Resistance?
Hello, what have we here?
I'm a big deal in the Resistance.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Resistance Radio. It's episode 102. Hope you enjoyed our last show, because this week it's all about the Solo trailer. As always, I am Mikey B, and I'm joined by my co-host, Caitlin.
Hello, we are back.
I know, right? It's been 2 weeks. If you want to get involved in the conversation, get a hold of us on Twitter at Our Radio Podcast. Leave a comment on Facebook. Send us an email through our website, resistanceradio.net, or leave a comment on this post when it goes up on hypeable.com. Today's podcast is brought to you by audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/resistanceradio. With over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player, get the latest Star Wars audiobook for free. Make sure you check us out on Patreon at patreon.com/resistanceradiopodcast. There's some really cool perks like joining us in a recording studio. I don't know who would join us today just because we're recording at 7 a.m. early morning on Saturday. You can check out our movie nights and After Dark episodes that are exclusive to Patreons. And in fact, I am going to be posting our audio commentary to Revenge of the Sith this week when I get time to edit it. But if you can't afford to support us via Patreon, that's cool. We also have some really cool merchandise for sale. T-shirts and button packs are available on our website at resistanceradio.net. I think it's time for the news. So, 2 weeks. There's a lot of news to cover. So, I kind of just cherry-picked some really ones that I thought was fun. Because, obviously, we're going to spend the majority of this episode talking about a movie that's going to be absolutely awesome. And Danya's going to be wrong. And she's not here to defend herself. We're going to talk about Solo. A Star Wars story. I can't wait to talk about that trailer because I think it looks absolutely amazing. Like I like the teaser trailer that was released, but now we're about a month out and this trailer is awesome. Anyway, first bit of news: Donald Glover celebrated getting the Lando role, like a true Star Wars fan. So, did you see this news article as it kind of came out?
No, I didn't see it when it came. Well, maybe I did because I think I saw it. We shared it on Twitter and I saw it in my feed and it made me smile.
So he's talked a lot about, you know, getting Lando. Like, his mom was like, hey, you better not mess this role up. But basically he said, when I found out I got the role, I bought a whole pizza, went home and watched Empire Strikes Back. This is what he told Star Wars News Net. And I think that's a perfect fitting to like a, you know, so if you were cast in a Star Wars film, you got to take it serious, right? You got to take it serious beyond the ecstatic. But like, I could totally see him being like, all right, I got to do this good. Stop by, get a pizza, go home, put on the Blu-ray of Empire Strikes Back, and just like watch Billy Dee Williams be, hello there.
Well, and
what
just
have
the
we here? Like, it would just be amazing.
Well, and to relish the character that you're about to
portray.
Yes, I
think it's awesome. So, now the real question is what kind of pizza did he take? Was it like a classic pepperoni? Was it something more? I don't know, but maybe that's just something I'm interested in.
No, it has to be something like suave and cheeky.
Yeah, it's got to be pineapple on pizza. You know, that's that whole movement. I like pineapple and ham. Anyway. Beyond that, we do have to talk a little bit about the Solo trailer and Lando in it, because there is a Easter egg in the new trailer that, you know, I'll mention a little bit when we get to it. It's actually my favorite scene that has Lando. It's the scene when him and Han have that conversation of everything you heard about me is true. And in this scene, there's an Easter egg. There is a bounty hunter named Tam Bolsa. Bolsala, who's hanging out in the background, just behind Han, if you take a look. And what's really cool about it is this is the same bounty hunter that was also on, Jedha in Rogue One, looking for Ponda Baba and Dr. Evazan. You know, when you find out that Ponda Baba and Dr. Evazan are in, you know, A New Hope, saying, we're wanted men! You know, we'll kill you, you know, when he's talking to Luke in the cantina, Tam Bolsa is actually the bounty hunter looking for him on Jedha. That's why they were there when they passed Jyn and Cassian. And he's also here. So it doesn't surprise me that you'd see characters like a bounty hunter make their way over 10 years of time Speaking of which, they did date the trailer for Solo, the film, by calling out Chewie's age, which we'll talk about in our trailer breakdown. But what do you think about this? Just having like little, we know that there's going to be the dice that we see in The Last Jedi are going to be in here, but we see it a bounty hunter from Rogue One.
Yeah, it's kind of nice because it's just like a small kind of almost throwaway. Like, if to be honest, like if I hadn't read that article, I wouldn't have noticed that. But it's kind of nice to have these little throw-ins. It doesn't always have to be like this grand kind of Easter egg. It could be like little, like it's kind of like when you went searching for like hunting for Easter eggs on Easter. It's always fine to find the little hidden ones that nobody else saw, as opposed to the ones that were staring you right in the face.
I agree with you on that. And I think, and I'll be honest with you, I think this is kind of like the same thing that we had with Ponda Baba on, you know, Rogue One, where it's like, oh, well, he was in A New Hope. And, you know, he makes that little cameo, but you're not, he has zero impact on the story. Does that make sense?
Well, like, and that, and it doesn't distract from the story. You're like, oh, he's there, and then you move on. Whereas if it was, like, at the end of Rogue One, when you see, like, Leia and Darth Vader, like, you leave that movie just thinking about that, because it's the last scene.
Yeah, and that's it. And they obviously have a pivotal role, even though they weren't, the movie wasn't about them. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So, I think it's pretty cool. Next week, I want to talk a little bit about what just happened last night. So, we're recording this on Saturday, like I said, early in the morning. And I don't know if you did any of this, Caitlin. I know you said you didn't sleep, so maybe that's why you were up all night. Last night, at midnight, we had the release for, or actually not last night, it was Thursday night to Friday night. We had the release of our Star Wars toys for Solo. Have you seen any of these toys?
Yeah, I took a look at some of them. Like, I don't collect toys, but some of them were pretty either cool or cute or fun.
All right, I have to say the Black Series Han Solo toy just looks weird. It looks weird. All right, so the reason why I say this is, Alden, I think you're going to do a phenomenal job as Han Solo, and I think within 5 minutes, even though you don't sound like Harrison Ford, you know, it's going to be okay. Like, it'll be okay. I'll be in it. You're Han Solo to me. It'll be good. But looking at the toy with no context, you know, the jack, like, take the head off. Oh, yeah, it's a Han Solo character. Like, the stance is even like a Han Solo character, right? The Black Series looks great. Except it looks so much like his face. It looks like Alden. It doesn't look like a, you know, when you look at, like, action figures and stuff like that, even the Black Series, sometimes you're like, oh, that doesn't look anything like the actor. This looks like him. But when you think, when I think of Han Solo, I still think Harrison Ford. So, I don't
know. Yeah, and I think maybe because for so long you've accepted or wanted Donald Glover to be Lando, because it definitely looks like Donald Glover as Lando, too. But I think because maybe you wanted it for so long that you expect to see Donald Glover as Lando versus Alden.
You know what's interesting is, I don't know if it's the Donald, it does look a little bit like Donald Glover as Lando in the Lando character, which I think is amazing, and I already have this one. I went and bought it. But the reason why I think the Lando one is because we've also seen Lando in Rebels, a younger version of Lando, which is not, you know, this is a five, you know, it's a 5 to 6 year difference between Lando and Rebels and Lando here. And the styling of Lando there is more similar to Donald Glover styling. So I think it's like the slow, like Billy Dee Williams Lando, Rebels Lando, and now Donald Glover, who I love already. And I will say, and I've heard, now we'll have heard three voices for Lando. We've heard, seen different stylings of Lando. So I feel like it fits a little bit better. Does that make sense?
Oh, yes.
Now, I will say, seeing the toy of Kira, I can't not see, you know, the Dragon Queen from Game of Thrones either. But that Imperial Range Trooper is absolutely awesome. Like, have you seen that? Like, I can't wait to see these guys in action. That coat, that fur coat that they wear, I think it's just...
Yeah, not gonna lie, I'm like, they would fit in where I live.
Yeah, right? It's, well, see, on Hoth, the snowtroopers just were wearing the basic stuff. This is a range trooper.
This one's surviving.
He's the one who's surviving in the snow for an extended period of time. But I think their Black Series characters look really cool, and I think you'd be remiss not to get them. I do like that they're continuing on with Force Link, which was introduced with The Last Jedi stuff. So there's Force Link 2.0 characters. So I think that's kind of cool. Again, there's Lando, and they've added some additional ones, like the Kessel security guard, which is awesome because we know they're going to Kessel. So that makes me feel really good. I do like that we get to see toys like the Corellian Hound and the Rebolt, who I have no clue who Rebolt is yet. And I will say this, there is a light and sound Kessel Run Millennium Falcon.
Yes.
So the toys have given us some insights. So we know they're going to Kessel. We know they're doing the Kessel Run because, guess what? There's the Millennium Falcon toy for it.
You can see in the picture how big that thing is. It's not like this handheld thing. Like, it's as big as the kid that's holding it.
Yeah, I love the Millennium Falcon because of the size of it. You can fit the action figures in the cockpit. Usually only one, maybe two, depending on the layout of the ship. But the back part comes off, and you can see the hollow table and everything that you saw from, A New Hope. And obviously, you're probably going to see this in the new one. And there's also the land speeder that Han drives is an action figure that we saw, or an action vehicle that we saw in the first trailer and a little bit in the second trailer here. I will say, I think the land speeders are going to be something that are going to be kind of fun. I hope they release like a remote control one eventually, like they did for Luke's a long time ago. I think that'd be kind of cool. And of course, Legos and all the toys and everything like that, I will say, the action Nerf blasters look pretty awesome. I feel like they'd
like the Blade Builders Riot Baton.
Oh, the Riot Baton? That looks a lot like... that's the First Order Baton?
Yeah, sorry, that's the French coming out. Yes. That one.
I will say, probably my favorite thing that's coming out that's just like off the wall is... Alright, so I'm not a fan of Ruby's costumes. Like, I've never been, like, they're, like, the really cheap Halloween costumes. But there's nothing wrong with them. They're just, like, the cheap Halloween costumes. The ones that you're like, oh, yeah, we know what it is because it's, like, pajamas printed. Or it's, like, it's just really kind of hokey, right?
Yeah, and like Chewy one?
Yeah, which we're going to talk about right now. But I will say this, the fact that... I don't know, maybe it's because I spend time with 501st and I'm still working on my costume. I know it's been like a year. But like that's the time and effort you have to put in to have something that looks realistic. And people are like, oh man, that looks so good. So Ruby's has released Solo, A Star Wars Story Chewbacca costume. And they released it for your pet. So your dog can dress up like Chewie with the bandolier and everything. Even if he's not a big furry dog like Chewie. A toddler one, which I kind of am excited to maybe get.
Yeah, I was gonna say you're gonna.
Like I said, I'm not a huge fan of Ruby's, but like I like that. And then a teen and an adult female one, and then also the boy and adult male one, which I don't know why they have the adult male one be the one that is like as close to Chewie, because it's a full jumpsuit and a rubber mask, whereas like the girl ones is like a skirt with like little fur on the ankles and wrist and like a furry hood, but that's the whole Halloween type thing.
Yeah, the stereotypical one. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, so they released it, which I think is pretty cool. Like I'm all for that. And of course, there's many Funko Pops, which we'll talk about when Dawn is on because she's the big Funko person. But I will say I want to have Dano on because I know he went out and did a wonderful toy run because he is a big toy collector and that's what he does on his show. Check out the Dano channel on YouTube and you can actually see his review of these toys. But we'll see if we can get him on next week to talk about the toys in detail. Anyway, moving on from the
Chewie Funko is adorable.
Oh yeah, the Chewie Funko, all the Funkos are always adorable, but the Chewie one's pretty good because it's a Funko, so it's kind of squat, but yeah. Chewie's really tall and yeah. Anyway, almost done with the news before we get into our main topic, but beyond, maybe this is because it was Friday the 13th the other day when the toys were released. Mark Hamill has quoted that he doesn't really care if he comes back to Star Wars anymore.
I don't blame him.
Which is completely different than what it was for you know, Force Awakens and The Last Jedi. He says, losing Carrie Fisher has really damaged his ability to enjoy being part of Star Wars anymore. So, direct quote is, it really has tarnished my ability to enjoy it to its fullest. You were asking earlier, are you going to come back? I don't care anymore on that level, because Han Solo is gone. Luke is gone. You can't get the band back together the way you wanted it to be, and it shouldn't be that way. It is what it is. Rather than being sorry that we can't have more of her, I'm just grateful that we had the time with her that we did. And I totally get this. You know, like, you know, you have to remember, you know, with the death of Solo, you know, with death of, you know, Harrison Ford's character in, you know, Force Awakens, you kind of knew it was just Hamill and Fisher, kind of the old guard. You know, the same people weren't really playing a lot of the characters. You know, you had Jonas as Chewbacca instead of Peter Mayhew's, because Peter is just too old to be able to do the action stuff that Chewbacca is supposed to be doing. You know, he was there in Force Awakens. A little bit there in, you know, he's still getting credits, but from what I understand, he wasn't there that much on The Last Jedi, and he's not there much on Solo, because it's a little bit more action-oriented, and Jonas has had multiple movies to kind of learn how Chewbacca walks, talks, and acts. But I do know that they had, like, Frank Oz on the set of The Last Jedi to play Puppet Yoda. So, I understand where Mark's coming from with this. I am a little sad, because I'd love to see a Force Ghost version of Mark. Maybe we'll get a little bit more Luke in episode 9. Maybe we won't.
And maybe he doesn't appear as a full Force Ghost, but we just hear his voice, because that's how we heard Obi-Wan Kenobi initially in A New Hope. But my thought is, like, it's a little bit different before, because all those actors that you listed, they're still alive. It's just their characters are either, like, Solo has died, or they've been they're not the ones portraying those characters anymore. But with Carrie Fisher, the person that, like, he loves in real life has passed away, so now it's not just, oh, they're just not here, they're off doing something else. She's just no longer there. So him being on set is a reminder that whether it's on set or in his private life, she's no longer there to speak to. And so I understand why before it was kind of fun, whereas now it's just kind of a reminder of the times that they had and the times that they can no longer have.
Yeah, and I get it. Like, they, you know, it's one of those things. Like, even now, you're still seeing pop-ups of, you know, behind-the-scenes footage from the original trilogy, and they just look like they're having such fun. And it, you know, I get it. Like, it's one of those things where, you know, part of what made Star Wars magic from a production standpoint magic is gone now. You know, you're not going to have, like, he would be the last of the old guard there. You know, they don't have George. They don't have, you know, they don't have any of the people that were there from the original film.
Well, yeah, and speaking of, like, their friendship before, like, was it today or yesterday? I saw somebody had posted a clip from behind the scenes when they're kind of, like, before filming the scene where Harrison Ford is tied up in the Return of the Jedi. And the Ewoks are, because they're about to try to eat him, and they're trying to, like, pre-act the scene where Luke tells C-3PO to tell the Ewoks to, like, that they're friends. And then Harrison Ford and Mark Hamill are like, oh, we need to say, tell them together at the same time. And Carrie Fisher goes, can I do it too? And at the same time, they both go, no. And it just kind of, like, shows almost like that sibling kind of friendship that they had on set too.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll just have to wait and see. All right, mm-hmm. This last bit of news is I'm actually kind of happy we haven't talked about it yet, and we took 2 weeks off. The main reason why is this was released right before Easter, on March 28th, and then this yesterday was when the footage actually leaked online for this. So Walt Disney Imagineering, NVIDIA Development Group, and ILM X Labs, along with Epic Games. So that's a big, big, you know, tie-up together of groups. You know, you have a graphics card company, you have Disney, you have Industrial Light and Magic, and specifically their VR X Labs. And then you have a gaming company, Epic Games, all working together to work on the Millennium Falcon ride at Disneyland. So, the NVIDIA released a PR press release about they've been doing with the graphics cards. Basically, the NVIDIA Quattro cards, which are not gaming cards per se, but they are essentially cards you would use in a workstation for video editing, 3D modeling, you know, stuff like that. And then Epic Games has updated the Unreal Engine, which a lot of people use to build 3D models, VR sets in it, stuff like that, to support special multi-GPU customization benefits. Now, this is going to be for all users. So if you're a gamer, this is pretty cool that Disney has helped push Epic Games to update the Unreal Engine for multi-GPU customization. Basically, what they have done, they have packed 8 NVIDIA Quattro P6000 GPUs together via Quattro SLI. So 8 graphics cards working in tandem to go and using Quattro Sync, which is what NVIDIA invented to be able to go ahead and do this real-time GPU renders. And it worked with ILM X Labs, you know, this Unreal Engine, to release a virtual Millennium Falcon ride. So it looks like this is all going to be drawn in real time. And if, what is it, Esquire has a leaked, it looks like a phone view, you know, it really looks like phone footage. But I will say, it looks really good. It was originally from Walt Disney World News Today. It was the company that got it. But it is cell phone footage. You see the guy wearing a VR headset, and you're flying through. Doesn't look like a Millennium. It doesn't look like the Death Star, but it looks like probably something on, like, Kessel, since we're going to see that in the new movie. And it looks like it's going to be on a, you know, like maybe a construction Star Destroyer or something like that. You're flying through it. There's TIE fighters flying in and out, and it's all done in real time. And it looks amazing. What do you think about this, Caitlin?
I understand next to nothing of what you just said.
Okay. But does the footage look kind of cool, at least?
Yes.
Yes. Like, I'm extremely excited about this. Like, this will be awesome if... See, here's the thing is, so when I was at Disneyland and I talked to them about the Secrets of the Empire experience, they said this is the stuff that they've been playing with for the new park. So I was like, okay, it's VR, it's going to be interactive, you're going to go through, and they're just trying to figure out how to get, like, lines through and stuff like that. This makes me feel like it's going to be a combination of, like, the Star Tours ride meets like that same thing where you're like, you'll wear a VR headset, but you'll be inside a simulator or something like that. Kind of like maybe Mission Earth or something like that in Florida, where you go in and you have a seat, and then you have like your console in front of you that makes, or Mission Mars, that makes you feel like you're flying to Mars and stuff like that.
I don't know. It'd be a little bit more like, because it's been a while since I've been to any of these kind of theme parks, but like sometimes usually it's not even like that individual. It's like you sit in like a theater seat and like there's a giant screen and like the seats will kind of like move with like if you're parasailing or something like that. So I'm picturing something like that, but now you have
a VR like, headset on that does.
Yeah, so it's more of a personal, like, you're actually immersed, whereas, like, before, you could, like, look to the sides and, like...
And see a person.
Yeah.
Like, I'll tell you this, like, one of the cool things is, like, as you looked around with Secrets of the Empire, you know, I looked at my wife, and she was dressed like a stormtrooper. She wasn't really dressed like a stormtrooper, she was wearing a hoodie that day. But, like, you get the idea, like, how cool would it be? Like, you sit down, and you put this headset on, and then as you look around, the person sitting next to you is Chewbacca, and the person to the left of you is Lando Calrissian. And, you know, each person has their own surround sound stereo headset on these headsets, and, you know, as someone talks, like, it's replaced, or, you know, it looks like the other person talking is Lando or something. I don't know. I think it would be really cool, but we have to wait and see. I will say, I don't care how long these lines are, it's going to be worth it no matter what. I'm just beyond ecstatic about this. So, anything else about the news, Caitlin? Anything I there was a lot of news, but it's been kind of mellow Star Wars wise for a bit.
Yeah, then it's gonna
anything
hit
about
hard
the news I skipped
weeks when Solo comes out.
In the next, you know, week. All right. So, it is time for our Solo breakdown. So, before we get started, I just have to ask. First question. What did you think of the trailer? Just for initial reactions, like, oh, I thought the trailer was awesome. Or I was like, yeah, you know, I waited, wanted more. I think Danya's right about the, about the thoughts here. You know, what do you think?
So, like, when I first watched the trailer, I'm not gonna lie, the opening scene and then you hear the music kick in, it increased my excitement level, which I had been keeping subdued, because I'm trying to be really realistic about this, because I have my concerns. But it started off really good, and, like, I wanted more from the trailer, and I don't, like, kind of a combination of, like, I felt there it would have been nice to see more of other characters that we've seen, like, nothing from at all, like Val, but at the same time, it's supposed to be a trailer to make you want to see the movie, so I'm gonna wait to see the movie to actually make my comments in regards to how much, like, characters are portrayed or how much they show up, but otherwise, it did its job of getting me more excited than I was, but I still have my reservations about the movie itself. So it's not the answer you wanted, Mikey, but at the least my excitement level has increased.
Yeah, no, I'm okay. I'm okay with that. I will be 100% okay with that. I will say I am extremely excited about the trailer. I think it's going to be just absolutely fun. I'll be honest with you. I think it's just going to be a fun movie. I think you're going to walk and be like, oh, that was really fun. I don't think it's going to be the best Star Wars film ever, but I think it's going to be fun.
Yeah, I think it's because, like, Rogue One was, like, extremely dark just because you knew how it had to end anyways. But I feel like this is going to be the opposite side where it's, like, because I feel like Star Wars, depending on the movie, kind of, I guess, is, like, the middle ground, whereas Rogue One was on the darker scale, and I feel like this is going to be at the lighter, fun side of things. If that makes sense.
Yeah, I'll take that, you know. We'll see. I think it's going to be definitely on the lighter thing. I think it's going to be a little bit more campy. I feel like it's going to be fun, kind of like what you would expect from The Phantom Menace, you know, like the pod race scene, kind of goofy, but I don't think there'll be anything that would make you feel like, oh gosh, the dialogue in here is horrible. You know, I think they've taken the time to make it feel Star Warsy, so I'm good with it.
Well, that and the fact, like, maybe this is just my perception, not that, like, Han is to be laughed at, he's to be laughed with. But he was often the one with the witty one-liners, like the comedic, not like a silly comedic, but like the, like, kind
more
of
more sarcastic, like, if you will.
Yeah, part of the original series. So that's why I feel like this will be more fun, because that fits his character. Like, because he kind of just brushes things off and is a little bit more laissez-faire about things. And therefore, the movie itself will portray that.
I think you're right, especially when you think about, like, even in Force Awakens, you know, it's like, how are you going to get past the shields? We're going to enter the atmosphere at light speed. Like, are you crazy? But they do. You know, and that's just kind of, he's like, we're going to try it. You can't say it's not possible until you try it. It's difficult, but you got to try it, right?
And same with, like, anyway, in A New Hope, we just meet Han Solo, and he literally, like, he met Luke on Tatooine, and he just, like, I mean, yeah, they got Princess Leia out of the prison, then went into the garbage compactor, and then to get them back to the ship, he charges a whole, like, potential hallway filled with stormtroopers.
Yeah.
Like, he's laissez-faire, but he also is, like, kind of brass and will just go ahead and do things without thinking them through. Because probably if he thought about it too much, it would stop him.
Yeah. Anyway, so Let's talk a little bit about the trailer now in detail. So I love the way it starts off. It starts off with a cityscape, and then it cuts to the construction of what looks like a Death Star. Like on the right-hand side, you can see what looks like the kind of command, kind of T at the top of the ship that you that has the pods on either side. That is for the shields. At least that's what they say they are. When they're trying to attack them in like the Star Tours ride, but. This has to be Corellia. This planet has to be Corellia, which is the home world of Han Solo. And I think it's going to spend not a significant amount of time here, but enough time for us to get a feel for this world. And I love it because we've never seen Corellia on screen. What do you think about just this starting off with some really cool stuff like that? What do you think about that, Caitlin?
Well, that it starts off dark, but I just I'm kind of playing the trailer a little bit, but on mute, and I got to the scene where Han Solo appears to be in, a prison. And it kind of reminds me how Rogue One starts off. We first meet Jin, as an adult.
I don't think he's in a prison. I think that's more of a... I know what you're talking about. Scene where you have, the bars going horizontal. I think that's more like a window that's, open and closed. Kind of a blinds, if you will. And someone's looking through it. So He's in the shadier part of Corellia, I'm sure. Han Solo being...
Because he has dirt on his face and just the way, it opens up and he looks up like he wasn't quite expecting it to. So I just assume. But you, I understand what you mean. It totally could be, even sometimes we've seen elevators that have had slots that open or something.
Yeah,
and it's arrived at a floor.
The only reason I would bring that... I would say that's probably what it is because in the scene right before you get see the kind of close up of him and you see Han that way is you see him walking past some people, on the streets of Corellia, kind of standing in front of what looks like a kind of a barrel, if you will, with fire in it, warming their hands. So I think it's, he's walking to kind of a shadier area of the, of Corellia there. And then it opens up. But even then, it's cool to see kind of not only, the nice parts of, Coruscant and everything that we saw in the prequels, but to see, kind of a grittier side of some of the Star Wars universe. And it's actually at that scene that we hear dialogue come in. And it's not from Han himself. It's from Kira saying, "You're after something." And then we get to a scene, which I think is, one of my favorite scenes. I don't know if it'll be my favorite scene in the movie, but it's one of my favorite scenes in the trailer, and we've kind of seen this already before, is the Western style Han Solo coming out with his lucky blaster at his side, facing off, on the sandy beach of probably, I would say it probably would be Mimbam, if I have to guess, because we know that's one of the planets that they're visiting. It's supposed to be a swamp jungle terrain, but I think it probably is going to be the beach swamp. I think it's going to have various different terrains there, but I feel like Mimban's going to be where it's at, especially since it's one. Mm-hmm.
Do you think Han Solo is going to shoot first?
He always shoots first. Actually, I don't think he's going to shoot at all. I think he's going to talk his way out of it because that's more Han Solo than shooting first. I think he's going to talk about. But I think Mimban is going to be the one because that's the one planet that we haven't seen, other than in one book. In a long ago, Splinter of the Mind's Eye, which was from the 80s style book. So I don't think we've seen it much before. So that would be the one planet I think that they could put this beach on that's not, Scarif and destroyed. But I love this, him just stepping out, flipping open the lock on his holster, or the clip, if you will, getting ready to, shoot first or talk his way out of it. But I do like that, we go on with the dialogue, with Kira saying, we said, is it, what was the first line she said? You're after something. And then she said, is it revenge when he shows,
the gun,
the showdown from revenge. She says, is it money when you see Lando? And I will say, that's a perfect
moment.
Every scene can't be my favorite, I know, but, seeing Lando in it is kind of awesome.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm not going to lie, I think my favorite parts of the trailers, every part where I'm just oh, this has me excited, is the one with Lando in it.
I do like that Lando talks in this one. And yes. I think when you see Han walk up to where Lando is, I think it's like the best one because he's kind of vulnerable. He's leaning over the table. He's grabbing stuff. Like before he couldn't have swagger, he's like kind of almost surprised. And everyone turns their head to Han Solo. Kind of yes. A Maz's castle, like Han Solo. And everyone stops to look at Han, right? Like everyone's head turns toward Han. You see, it feels like the cantina of A New Hope. You know, it feels like Maz's castle. It feels like a hive of scum and villainy. You know what I mean? Yeah, like,
it does have that effect.
I love that. It looks great. You have the grizzled guy in the corner with a beard. You have the two-headed alien tentacle thing, and you see a robot. Like, it's just awesome. Like I love it. And this is when Lando gets to talk a little bit. You know, in that scene. Obviously, it's not in the trailer right there, but we'll get to it. And of course, we get the introduction of the Falcon, which I will say this. The introduction of the Falcon, when you see Han and Chewie looking up at it, it's pretty cool. It's kind of, you know, foggy and stuff, but they don't show the front of the Falcon, which, I don't know. I have this thing where, like, I get that the Falcon has changed over the years, but the front of the Falcon is a piece of contention for me. I hope that they explain it. Like, I hope that they do something with Jabba the Hutt, or they mention Jabba, and they drop cargo or something like that, and then we get the Falcon that we know at the end of the film. I'm okay not having it throughout the entire film, but I hope at the end of the film it looks like our traditional Falcon. Does that make sense?
Yes. But I think that's why they haven't showed it.
Well, I know. Well, they show it in the rest of the trailer, like, you know, the Solo Falcon. I don't know. That's just my contention. And then we get back to the Lucasfilm logo. So it's all this kind of talk up of who is Han Solo, kind of getting us there. And then you get introduced to this kind of nicer area. I'm guessing this probably still on Corellia. I would guess it's still on Corellia, but it could be somewhere else. I don't think it's on Kessel, which is, you know, we know we're visiting Kessel because, you know, Ron Howard tweeted a photo, said spicy. And Kessel, I think, is going to be more of the dirty, you know, fog planet that we end up seeing that the Falcon was on or something. But we get to see Kira, and I will say, Emilia Clarke, I just keep seeing the Mother of Dragons in it. I don't know about you.
I've seen her in other things, so I don't think it bothers me as much.
Okay. But I'm curious I haven't really how seen her
character plays out.
Yeah, I haven't seen a lot about her and other things, but maybe that's just me. I don't follow her career, but I will say it kind of bothers me. Maybe I just have to be in the Star Wars mindset. The trailer, maybe it's more right now as I'm rewatching it while we talk about it. But regardless, she makes an appearance there and it's going through. But I will say the next scene is back to that beach, which it has to be the same beach where we talked about that kind of Western holdoff. And there's obviously more there. Again, I think that's Mimban, and he's talking to Beckett. And it just, regardless, forget about the rest of the trailer for a minute. Like, every time they come back to this planet, it just looks awesome. You know, the sand, like, the water, I think it just looks, like, pretty epic on a scale of, like, what goes on there. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Or am I overreaching a little bit? But yeah, so Beckett's there, and then he talks about what we think is going to be the story. He's like, I'm putting a crew together. You know, because he heard about a job from, you know, some big shot gangster. Now, it's interesting thing about this big shot gangster was supposed to be a CGI character, but they had to replace it because of the reshoots. So that tells me that something happened in the point of kind of changing, tweaking the story based on the mission or heist or whatever they're doing. Because that character changed.
Yeah, but was that the reason for the change?
I don't know if that was a reason. I think the reason was probably more related to...
Because, like, it could be that maybe because of reshoots and the crunch that they had, they just did not have the time to properly do the CGI, so they went...
Oh, no, yeah. That's the reason they did it, was they didn't have time to redo the CGI with the reshoots. But I think they did the reshoots were because they wanted to change the story because it wasn't coming out the way they wanted.
Yeah.
But the CGI was dropped because, you know, the 6 months they have to make the movie, the CGI wouldn't be done. But as you're kind of getting the idea of what the story is from here, with Beckett saying, you know, I'm putting a crew together from a hot, you know, I heard about a job from this big shot gangster. And then you have Hansel, and this is, so this is what doesn't sit well with me. Like, I get, like, he's driving the speeder, and he flies, and he says, I'm a driver. And then he says, and I'm a flyer. Like, and a flyer just sounds weird to me. Like, I guess maybe he's never piloted an actual ship, and so he's like, I'm a pilot, like...
Yeah, but at the same time, like, it's... I think it's supposed to just be the flow, because you don't say, like, a driver, a pilot. It, like, whereas well, if you
a driver, it ends a driver is the name of a job that for someone who drives a car. A flyer is not necessarily the name of a person who flies a ship. It would be a pilot. I don't know. For me, it just seems weird, because, like... We've also heard Han Solo talk about, you know, when you had Luke refer to the Millennium Falcon as what a piece of junk, and Han says, well, who's going to pilot you? Oh, you bet I can't. Like you have that word pilot already. I don't know. It just feels weird to me. The action sequence that it's tied to is pretty cool. Like, you see him flying some type of ship that's not the Falcon there. I don't know.
It could be because of the symmetry of the words, like, driver, flyer, but it can also be, like, and okay, maybe this is getting too much detail, maybe you need, like, a certain thing before you're an actual pilot.
Yeah, I don't know, maybe you need to own a ship or something before you're a pilot, I don't know, but it may also just mean be there to kind of show that, you know, the naivety, you know, the inexperience that this Han Solo has. I don't know. The wording and listening to it and watching it just feels weird to me. Does that make sense?
It's in the originals, Luke didn't say that he could pilot a ship, but he said he could fly things.
Yeah, he said he can fly it. You're right. Well,
maybe it's kind of
okay,
like that.
So maybe that's it. Maybe it's just,
I'm trying to help you out, Mikey.
Maybe, I don't know. You're trying to justify the flyer. Maybe it's just not in Han's voice. See, maybe that's what it is. Like, it's a subconscious level. I'm gonna love the movie. I know it. I'm just like, ah. Anyway, going on. We're about a third of the way through here, but going through this, you know, you definitely feel that the story is this is Han's chance. You know, kind of like Luke's journey started with him leaving Tatooine. This is Han's chance to get off of Corellia. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Considering he says, I waited a long time for this, for a shot like this. And then Beckett hands him a blaster. Now, I find this interesting because a lot of people have said, oh, this is how he gets that blaster. It might be how he gets his blaster, but it might also be that Beckett was just looking at it because, you know, he kind of does this kiss of the blaster and then tosses it to him, which I don't know about you. Like, I'm not a gun person by any means. Like, I don't own a gun. I don't really fire a gun, but I know not to just throw a loaded weapon to somebody. And it just seems really unsafe that he's throwing a blaster at him. But maybe that's just something that, like, as a dad, that crossed my mind. I'm like, oh my gosh, they're going to blow someone. You're going to shoot someone's eye out. But yeah, he gets the blaster at that point in time to become like Han Solo. And the reason why I don't think that's actually it is if you freeze it when he's catching it, on his right leg, he already has the holster for it. So I can't imagine, you know, Beckett handing him a holster, put this on, kid, and then here's your weapon now. Like, I can't imagine it being a two-step thing. Does that make sense?
Yeah, unless Han Solo lost the one he had. Like, he could have had a blaster before.
Yeah, I guess he could have had something, like, and then Beckett replaced it with this.
Yeah, exactly. That is his, and Beckett was just kind of
he's returning
over
it.
Or
even returning it. Like, think back to, like, was it Attack of the Clones, where Anakin loses his lightsaber and Obi-Wan catches it. He's like, yeah. You've lost something, you know, handing the lightsaber back. Kind of the same thing. Maybe. Anyway, moving on from the blaster scene, we get the first scene with our favorite Wookiee, Chewbacca. And it's Han asking him, what do you think? What do you know anyway? Like, I know. I have a feeling in my mind that that Wookiees that we see in the trailer, it's like, he's like, what do you think? And he's saying, like, I feel like Chewie's saying, I have a bad feeling about this. Like, because, you know, there has to be the bad feeling somewhere in the movie.
Yep.
And then Han's just like, what do you know anyway? So I think it's, you know, that's just me. I think that's it. Now, moving on from that, we get to see a icy planet with a big ol' like a mammoth sized tusks.
Yep.
And things like that. I feel like this is going to be Kessel. The reason why I say it's Kessel is we know Kessel is used, is a planet where they, you know, mine spice and there's Wookiees are held as slaves there. And it would definitely be an area that would be almost inhospitable. And this is where inhospitable. And this planet, I think, is where the heist is going to take place. It's going to take place on Kessel. Or at least I think so. Again, I could be wrong, but that's what the trailer kind of tells me. And this right here, I would say would be the first introduction we see of the planet. What do you think of the planet in general? The ice, the mammoth tusk, kind of the dilapidated shipyard here, if you will.
Well, because we've
and
seen
then Han and Chewie just mosey on up.
Both in stills and teasers before, where everybody seemed to be in warm clothing. So this seems to be the gist of where, like, or at least the
action is going to take place
of the movie will occur. And, you know, because I still have several feet of snow, I look forward to seeing more snow in a movie.
Yeah, right. But regardless, I like how they just like introduce these shots and then they move on from it. Like they don't linger on it until a little bit later on when you see some action stuff there. But going back right after that is when we get introduced back to the kind of the voiceover from Kira saying, yeah. you know, so we see them walking up and Beckett asks, you got a line on a ship? And Kira says, yeah, I know a guy. And it brings us back to Corellia, the best smuggler around, which is the shot of Lando that we've seen before, you know, when she's describing him in that kind of fur coat, looking up all regal like, and then it's back at that card table / sabacc game, whatever it is, and Han asks him that wonderful question, I heard a story of you, I wonder if it was true, and Lando and his true smug self leaning back with a little Colt 45 in his hand. You know, if you don't know what Colt 45 is, kids, that's definitely a Billy Dee Williams thing. He says, everything you heard about me is true.
I kind of feel like that's...
I had to finish that.
That's when, Han Solo would make some smart-ass comment. Well, I heard this, like, ridiculous, stupid thing. And then he'd be like, okay.
Yeah.
That's not true.
that would be Han's response. It's like, oh, okay. I didn't realize your mother was a Wookiee or something really, you know, goofy like that. But we'll see. Maybe that isn't an insult. I don't know. Wookiees live a long time. Anyway, mm-hmm. I will say, here's the thing is Donald Glover's response, like, that just oozes Lando to me. So like I said, I feel like the dialogue is good. I feel like it's going to be okay. And like I said, the thing with the voice not being the voice I've heard for years and years and years, I think I'll forget about it. And in 5-10 minutes, I'll be immersed in this movie and it'll just be Han. Does that make sense?
Yes.
No? Yeah. Makes sense. Not sense. Yep. Right after seeing Lando talking about Lando, we are introduced to a droid who is beating someone up known as L3. Lando's droid, which I will say I'm a fan of this droid because it reminds me of a pre-Lobot kind of a partner to Lando and all his various dealings that he does. But yeah, it's I think L3 is going to be interesting. I will say his full name, L33T. If you ever knew the old wannabe hacker speak, Leet. you know, like Elite, but Leet. That's his actual name, L33T. I'm excited to see how this droid kind of interacts with the rest of the crew. Because he's not human, it's a droid. And it's not going to be so much a R2-D2 BB-8 character. I think he's going to be more of a K2 type character.
Yeah, a little bit more... not as sarcastic, but more like physical comedy.
Yeah, I feel like it's going to be a lot of physical comedy with L3. But I also think it's going to be... I think it's going to... L3 is going to have his own personality. You have to remember, this is Lando's partner in crime. His co-pilot, his droid. And I can't imagine Lando not having, like, added additional, like, you know, if it's a droid, you think he's adding, like, a personality module. And, of course, the personality has to semi-model after his owner's Lando. You know what I mean?
That, or I could see him, like, to oppose Lando's character to be more of a, like, a dry humor kind of character. Almost like Marvin from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Yeah, I agree. I think L3 kind of sets it up because the one line that L3 has is, you know, who are these guys? And it shows Han, Chewie, and Kira when it says who are these guys, and it cuts to scenes of the Falcon, Han coming in it, and then Beckett says, "If you come with us, you're in this life for good." I think this is the moment of Han becoming that smuggler. Does that make sense? Like, this is Han kind of breaking the law and going further. And then, of course...
just go back, like, for, like, 3 seconds. How pristine the interior of, assumedly, the Millennium Falcon looks.
So, here's the thing is, like, I heard people say, oh, man, Han doesn't know how to clean it. But here's the thing is, like, think of this as, like, leather, right? Think of this as leather, because they look like... not plastic per se. If they're plastic, then maybe it is just dirty. But like, it'd be like a leather interior, if you will, right? Huh?
Well, I said plastic can stain too.
Yeah, plastic can. But I like to think of this as leather, if you will. And the reason why I say that is because then it makes sense that Han and Chewie aren't as dirty as you would think they are. And that's why I kind of want to brush by it. Because if it's leather... think of it, leather wears, it patinas, it darkens over time.
And I feel like with a bunch of stuff. And it, huh? Like, if you're smuggling a bunch of stuff and it rubs against the side of it, and like, especially if some, like, spices can stain, like, even,
yeah,
just your fingers,
right? So. And like, just like, run your hand along the wall, your oils from your fingers will not necessarily make it dirty, but it'll stain it and darken it over time. So I feel like this is a new ship at this time, right? You know, yeah. It's a new ship. And here's the thing is, I was having this thought, you know, this is, I tell people the shower thoughts I think of, is what if starships in Star Wars are kind of like cars here in the U.S., right? Just think about this. You know, if you drive around, well, in Canada too, I'm sure it's the same. If you drive around, how often do you see cars that are 20 years old?
You know, quite a bit.
Most cars are...
Well, I shouldn't say 20. Maybe like 10 years old.
Maybe 10 years old, right? Maybe 10 years old. I'll take 10 years old. I keep my cars for at least 10, 12 years. That's just who I am. But I know there's lots of people that trade in their cars. You know, they do the lease and they keep it for 3 years and they get a new car. But what if starships in the Star Wars universe are like cars, right? Because we've heard, like, the Falcon at, you know, maybe this is brand new at the time. This is, you know, it's right off the assembly line, right? It's a brand new model, or it's a, you know, one-year-old model or whatever. And by the time we see it in A New Hope, it's 10 years old already, right?
Yep.
And then by the time we see it, or 9 years old, I guess. And by the time we see it in Empire, which was a 5-year gap there, you know, it's 14 years old. And so it's one of those things where, when their comments are made, it's like, it's an older model. Like, it's an older model ship. It's like, well, yeah, it's 15 years old. You know, the company that makes the ship, you know, Corellia, you know, YT, you know, the YT model that it is, the Corellian Transport, like, of course they're going to make newer models. Like, think of, like, Ford making the Mustang. And that's just the first thing that came to my head. But it could be, like, any, you know, car you can think of. You know, they're going to change the body up. They're going to change the style. They're going to change the features of it. So I don't think that it's dirty. I think it's like patina. It's well worn. I think it
wasn't so much claiming that it was dirty. It was just like looking at the color difference, like how, like, cause say, like, even for example, if you've ever had a house with like the same flooring or carpet, and then and if you've had full sun come in, and then you go to move a piece of furniture and you see what you're reminded what the carpet or the rug used to look like.
Yeah, before it faded and changed with the sun and everything. Like, yeah. And that's exactly it. And I think that's and that's kind of what the Falcon shows us here. And this is an early beginning of it. I think it's probably the parallel of the Falcon doing the same thing. Like, so it ties to the next scene, which is why I kind of skipped over it for a second, was yep. Beckett then tells Han, if you come with us, you know, you're in this life for good. Like, the beginning of Han's journey, right? At least as, you know, as maybe a smuggler. Because, you know, he's been a kid on Corellia. He doesn't look like he's left it. But maybe that's just me thinking, you know, too far for it. But this would also be the journey, the beginning of the Falcon. Because obviously Han has to win it and take it and become his. But it's also the beginning of it. It's all bright and shiny. It doesn't have that wear of experience. If that makes sense.
It's just because, like, in the clip I have where Beckett and Solo are talking, Solo has, like, that, like, almost like a parka on. They both have a coat. And I can't tell if it's, like, misty from a beach or if it's, like...
No, it looks like they're on Kessel. Like, they've already made it, but they haven't done anything wrong yet.
My thought is, like, maybe before when they originally met, it was just, like, a small job. And then this is, like, the bigger job, and this is Beckett kind of worrying him, okay, like, we've done this, but now we're doing this, and once you've done this, there is no going back.
Yeah, like, it might be...
So it could be, might be like also later. Thing.
Well, yeah. This also, like, we talked about the toys with the, you know, Stormtrooper, the Range Trooper, that's wearing the fur and stuff, like, they're gonna be on this planet that he's there. Yeah. And Han's gonna be going up against the Empire, and it's like, once you cross the Empire... You're always wanted. We see this in Rebels. We see this in all the films that deal with the Empire doing its thing. Because, you know, the Empire is sprawling. The Empire is big. And they're the Empire. You know, it makes a sense. So, like, once you cross the Empire, you're with us. Like, you're in this life for good. You're always going to be looking over your shoulder. But, you know, I think the next scene they tie it together. It's the engines of the Falcon. One, which is really cool, seeing that it kind of open up a little bit, and then the engine just kind of revving up, if you will. I think it's really cool because we've never seen it that detail. I don't think we could have ever seen that before previously because, you know, CGI is not where it was at today as it was, you know, 40 years ago. But seeing the Falcon, its engines just light up, is like, of course he's doing it because, you know, it's the Falcon. Like, that's kind of the driving force. Here. And then, of course, it's not Han in this cockpit seat, which surprised me. I guess it surprised me a little bit because you would have expected it to be Han as soon as they switched there. Like, come with us, you're in this life for good. Like, I know it's Lando's ship, but I kind of would have expected it to be. Maybe it's one of those things where I'm trying to build a story out of the trailer, and I expected it to be Han there. Well, but I'm happy that it's Lando because it's Lando.
Well, because, like, we'll get to it later. We do see it, but I think this is just, like, this is telling kind of the story from before it's, like, because, like, clearly with the line that Lando has, like, I think you should buckle up, like, Han has never been on the Millennium Falcon before.
Yeah, and I think it's also one of those things where it also ties into the montage, which comes next. So, like, right now, it's been kind of setting up story of, like, what's going on. Like, Han's journey, if you will. Like, that's what we've been talking about. And then, by using Lando's line, you might want to buckle up for this. It's like, you see L3 and Lando in the cockpit and passenger seat. And you see Han kind of looking at the seat that, you know, Luke sits in A New Hope. And then it cuts to on May 25th.
Yeah,
you know, and then it jumps into the train, you know, the heist, if you will, with Beckett firing at those Range Troopers. The train looks like it's. I will say this. I heard someone say this. You know, I wish Donya was here because she's a big Marvel fan. But this is like the train from Winter Soldier, right? Where Bucky gets falls off of. But you like mean it's this
the first train. Avenger.
Yeah, or is it the first? Yeah, it's the first Avenger Winter Soldier. Yeah, so the second Captain America film. But yeah, it's like that train that you see them like, and it looks like their boots are going to be like magnet boots or something like that because the train rotates, you know, 360 degrees and stuff like that. And it just like it starts into action sequence, and then you see the Falcon going over the planet. Then you see a walker, you see gunfire, you see Chewie hug another Wookiee, which I think is awesome. Like you all these things, like all it goes into that action montage, right? But it's overlaid with some dialogue that's really important. It says, "It's Beckett again. Let me give you some advice. Assume everyone will betray you," which I think is really, for me, I feel like that would be a hard thing for Han to learn. Assume everyone will betray you, because you know you see him early on, like when they're meeting Lando. It's him, Kira, and Chewbacca, right? And I think he's probably known Chewbacca for a while. And Chewie is faithful. You know, when George Lucas said he was writing Chewbacca's character, he made him after his dog, right? So it's his faithful companion. And Chewie's even there after his death and everything. So I think it's good. But this line, assume everyone will betray you, I think that's going to be a theme in the film. Where like there's going to be backstabbing and betrayal between the heist crew and stuff like that. And I think that's what we're supposed to get, and I think it's going to be a hard lesson for Han to learn, kind of like we talked about Ezra and his lesson he has to learn from Hondo betraying them and everything like that. I feel like Han is kind of like Ezra, that's a little bit probably right now, not he's probably sarcastic because that's a personality, but probably a little bit more trusting than by time of Force Awakens when Kanji Club and them are after him, you know?
Well, and I feel like in, like, stories, whenever somebody's like, don't trust anybody, like, people will betray you, whoever's saying that is usually the one who ends up doing, like, the big betrayal at the end that causes the main conflict at the end.
Yeah, and I feel like it's that betrayal that we see is going to happen. Mm-hmm. That we'll see is going to be, like, I don't know. I feel like that's going to be the one that's going to give us, that's how the Falcon's going to become the Falcon. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah.
There maybe it's an escape pod or something in the middle, like, because we also know that the escape pods have been jettisoned. By time the Falcon gets to the Death Star, because when they ask this, the escape pods have been jettisoned. It could so. According to the logs, the crew abandoned ship right after takeoff. So it could be that, like, that's why it looks the way it is, because the escape pods are in the middle. Does that make sense?
Yep.
So, and that would tie right into, you know, everything together, and Lucasfilm is all about tying together. But during that action sequence, you know, as before we get to the, you know, after they say everyone, assume everyone will betray you, you see, you know, shots of the Falcon flying over things, you see Lando raising a gun, you see Kira walking out, you see ATSTs, you see a lot of different things. And then he says, assume everyone betray you and you'll never be disappointed. But then you get to see Chewie hugging another Wookiee. And I would say it looks like a female Wookiee. I don't know about you, but I'm looking at it here. A little bit smaller, a little bit more petite in size. But what do you think of this?
I just like the sweet female moment Wookiee, that they... Wookiee? Oh, I don't care which way it goes, but I just think it's a sweet moment where they hug and they bump foreheads together.
Yeah, now, the question is this going to, if we find out, if it's his wife, are they going to pull in the names that we got from the 1978 Star Wars Holiday Special? Mala Tobak is his wife. Because, you know, can I not say... I think it's going to be, you know, I think it's going to be ridiculous if they do. But it might be.
Well, I'm sure people thought Chewbacca was a silly name when it first came out, but...
Yeah, I know. The nice thing is, if they do, I'm actually okay with it a little bit. The reason why is, these were names that George Lucas created. So, I'm okay with it, because this goes all the way back to when George was involved. And not that I think George should be involved in all these. But I think it'd be nice to kind of tie some of those other things that are not canon together as like a fun joke. But we'll have to see. But yeah, Chewie hugs another one. And when you think about it, like, if we called Chewie Chewie instead of Chewbacca all the time, this would be Mala. And I think Mala is a fairly decent name for
That's what I was going to say. Wookie. It's like Mala or Molly.
And then, you know, and then is that going to bring in Chewie's whole family? Like Lumpf-Rumpf or Lumpa. You know, his son.
Yeah.
And Achachuck. His father. Like, I don't know. Like, because you know, he had to go back to Kashyyyk for Life Day. So it'd be fun to bring back some more of the Wookiees. Anyway, it's a nice moment that Chewie has. You know, their foreheads are touching on Wookiees. It's cool. And then you get to see, and then I think it goes, and then I will say this, that as soon as you get that, then it just jumps into, like, beyond action. Like, it's still a quick scene between the Wookiees. But then it goes to the Falcon flying through, like, this, you know, the storm, which we're going to think, which I think is the Kessel Run with this alien kind of, you know, tentacles, which I will say this, like, people who are fans of the EU, and I know you weren't, you didn't read a lot of the Extended Universe book. This is something like I can talk to Danya or the guys from the Johto cast about. But this reminds me a little bit of something that was in the EU, the Maw, which was like this creature that lived in the Kessel Run, like in this black hole-ish period in this area, and would reach out and try to grab things. And that's kind of what it feels like. So I'm excited to see if they give us a little bit more explanation about this. But you see Han, and he says the opposite of what I said I thought Chewie said earlier. He says, I got a really good feeling about this as he's flying through. You know, it's Han. What can I say? And Chewie growls. And I think this is probably one of my favorite like little jokes that made me feel like this was Han. He tells Kira to get, basically, so what's really funny is you kind of have to infer what Chewie says because they never subtitle it or say what it is. But you see Chewie getting out of the kind of the chair that Luke was in and hit something and growls and kind of wants Kira to get out of the co-pilot seat. And then Han asks him, when did you learn to fly? And he's like, you're 190 years old. He's like, of course I know how to fly. Yeah. And he says, and you look good. Yeah, because for 190, Chewie looks pretty awesome. You know, those locks are nice and luscious. And okay, I'm going to stop there. But what'd you think of this kind of interaction there? I think it's really fun. Like, I feel like it's going to be Chewie just being like, oh, out of my way. Let me do this. Like, because come on. If you're 190 years old, you know he knows how to fly. He was there at the battle of, you know, Kashyyyk with the Separatist army and Yoda and everything.
Yeah, but Han doesn't know that.
I know. Han doesn't know.
Yeah, but in this trailer, it's funny because both of them were told that, like, Kira told Han at the beginning of the trailer, like, that he looked good. And then now Han is telling Chewie he looks great.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
They're all obsessed with the how many Instagram likes they can get. They need to take those self-snaps, I guess. I don't know. Chewie does look great, though. Like I said, those locks. Anyway. But we do see a little bit more of what looks like the Maw with that kind of swirling storm in space. Or maybe it's in the... maybe it's not in space. Maybe they're in planet. But then you see that Star Destroyer kind of coming at it, and this and TIE fighter's coming at them. And then he says, punch it. Looks like they jumped to light speed. We do see the gangster... right after that, they come back to the planet, which, like I said, I think is probably Mimban, what it looks like. They come back to Mimban with the ship there. And then we see the gangster that we were introduced to earlier. And he's got a really cool, like a lightsaber switchblade, a switchblade. Like, I don't know. It looks like one of the things the Praetorian Guards kind of had in Last Jedi. Like, there's metal, but then there's also, like, the plasma something there. So I thought it was kind of cool. And he just slices something in half. And, of course, you know, there's a bunch of action sequence and stuff like this. And I will say this. There's a scene with right after this where Chewbacca literally picks someone up and just smashes him heads in, which is kind of
violent.
Yeah, it's kind of violent, but you know, like you, but I like it because not because it's violent, but I like it because it shows that Chewbacca is still, he's a powerful Wookiee, like he's strong. Like, and the interesting thing is, I don't know if this is before, after, like we don't, I don't know. I don't know if we're going to get, if Han and Chewie are already friends at this point, or if they get introduced and they become friends. Like, that's one of the big story plots that I'm trying to figure out in this movie. Because it looks like they're hanging out together a bunch. But, like, the old EU was like, Han freed Chewie from slavery, you know, from the Empire. And that's why he has a life debt, and he's hanging out with him, and that's why he's so loyal. Right? So,
Do we know how old Han was when he released Chewie from slavery?
No, like we don't. And so, and that's kind of why, and that's why I get Disney kind of retconning all the old EU, because there was just so much that happened, but like, when did it happen? Like, time-wise, like, he was younger, is what was said, which I get it, like...
It's just because, like, at the beginning of the trailer, what we assumed was, like, what would be, like, the beginning of the movie or the start of Han Solo's story, he's by himself. But I'm wondering if it's going to start off kind of like Rogue One did, where it shows, like, a pivotal moment in young, like, younger Han Solo's life.
And then that wouldn't surprise me. And you know what's interesting is, remember back to the, not the first trailer, the teaser, but the... Maybe it was the teaser, or you know, there was two teasers. There was the teaser at the Super Bowl, which was like 30 seconds, and then the first teaser trailer. And now we have our first trailer, our first official trailer, right? Mm-hmm. One of them, and I don't remember which one, I'd have to go back and look, had Han trying to like apply for like, kind of like how Luke wanted to go to the academy, the Imperial Academy, because he wanted to fly, he wanted to get off of Tatooine. Yeah. It had Han trying to apply for an Imperial position. Does that make sense? Like, Han was trying to apply for an Imperial position, and maybe it's then when he meets Chewbacca and he frees him because he thinks it's great, you know, that slavery is wrong, because, you know, slavery is wrong. But I will say, this: the next scene in that whole action sequence of the Solo trailer is you see L3, like, in the midst of, like, blaster fire and everything, just being excited for, like, the carnage and everything, which feels like a K2SO-style humor. So glad we took this job, you know, just like... seeing people blow things up and whatnot, like, that's just really exciting. I don't know. What do you think of that? Like, L3 response to that, or just seeing L3 in the trailer more than just the very beginning?
No, I appreciate that, like most droids, he's there for a laugh, but also to help with the story a bit.
Yeah, I will say this, and then it goes to a kind of an emotional, like, Han is holding on to Chewbacca. Chewbacca's falling out of the train. And, like, you see the rock coming up. Chewbacca, you know, survives. So, like, it's an intense moment. But, like, in the trailer, I'm kind of like, I know he survives. It's Chewbacca. Like, he doesn't... Like, Chewie has to live.
Yeah,
it's like, I will tell you this. Han, Lando, and Chewbacca all make it out of that film alive. Whether yes. Beckett, Kira, or L3 make it out, meh, who knows? But Han, Lando, and Chewie, they're safe. We know this. Like, that's the problem with, like, a prequel-type movie, is you know who makes it, who doesn't. Whereas, like, in Rebels, and again, I'm tying this to Rebels because it's, like, the other prequel content that's not the main storyline. You knew some characters had to be safe. Like, when they introduced, you know, Bail Organa and stuff like that, like, and Princess Leia, you know those characters were going to be alive then. But you didn't know anything about the Phoenix Squadron, like, the main characters that you've watched. Like, you didn't know if they were all going to make it, none of them were going to make it. You know, you didn't know. So it was always kind of like, could something happen?
Well, same with, opposite of, like, Rogue One. Like, there was the possibility that a few of them might survive it.
But they could all, like, die. Like, you were, expecting, like, you didn't know. And when you see that they made the decision that everybody died in Rogue One, you're like, well, that makes sense. Like, they gave their life for the cause to you know, to do this thing. So I totally get it. Whereas with this, you're kind of like, could we have put someone else in that spot instead of Chewbacca for it to be more of a, you know, a little bit more, you know, suspense, if you will. But I don't know. I'm okay with it. Other than that, that's kind of the end of the trailer, because then it goes into the solo with a really cool rendition of the Star Wars theme. I wish Ben was here, because he could have talked a little bit more about the music and how the motif changed, because it tied into, you know, I'll be honest, I'm not the biggest music person. Ben would be the one to talk about. But I do like that they've kept that original John Williams kind of score. And we know John Williams actually wrote the theme to Solo. So he didn't score the whole thing, but he wrote the theme. So the main Solo theme is a John Williams score, which is awesome. Anything else about the Solo trailer, Caitlin?
No, I was just going to go back and make the comment about how we know whatever happens between Chewie and the rock and the hard place, that Chewie lives. And I just find it interesting that they know that we know that Chewie lives, but that's what they chose as the cliffhanger at the end of this trailer.
Yeah, well, I think it's also you have to remember I think it's a good trailer to end, a good spot to end, because it goes to black to bring up the cluttering.
Yeah.
I don't know if something else would have been as good, because you want to show some of the action sequence, and I think that's part of the action sequence on, you know, Kessel with the train heist and stuff like that. So I think it's, we know in our minds, I think if you watch the movie, in your mind you know Chewie survives, but you're still going to be hyped up on adrenaline watching it, that you might say oh, something might happen.
How in hindsight, did he survive it?
Yeah, maybe he gets hurt. Maybe, and here's my theory, which may or may not be true. Maybe in Solo, you notice there's a difference in Chewbacca here than from A New Hope and everywhere else. He's wearing two bandoliers, you know, the bandoliers over his chest. He's wearing two of them in the Solo trailer and the Solo film. Maybe he loses one of them at that point in time, and he goes down to just one. And it's such a little thing, but that's the significance of it. And it would be hilarious if that's it. But that's my thought process. If something happens where he loses one of the bandoliers, and that's how he becomes the Chewbacca we know and love for the next 10 years. Or I guess 30 years, because of Last Jedi also. But yeah, that would be that's my takeaway from it. Anyway, thank you all for listening to another episode of Resistance Radio. Feel free to reach out to us on Twitter at @RRadioPodcast or on Facebook at facebook.com/resistanceradiopodcast. Remember to visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/resistanceradiopodcast. And as always, I'm Mikey B.
And I'm Caitlin.
And may the Force be with you.
And also with you. Told me get myself together. Now I got myself together. Now I made it through the weather. Better days are gonna be better. I'm so happy the carbon light is gone. I'm moving on. I'm so happy that it's over now. The pain is gone. I'm putting on my shades to cover up my eyes. I'm jumping in my ride. I'm heading out tonight. I'm solo. I'm hot solo. I'm hot solo. I'm hot solo. Solo. I'm picking up my plaster, putting it on my sign. I'm jumping in my Falcon. I'm solo, I'm hot and solo, I'm hot and solo, I'm hot and solo, solo.